Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Janice Hartley of Keefe Real Estate, your lakefront and lakes area real estate specialist. Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better. Braden Dental, two generations of dental care, downtown Lake Geneva.
Is the last button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
We have a lot to get to.
Yes, we do. Good morning.
Good morning. Whew. Are you dried out yet?
Oh, yes, I am. Finally.
Yeah,
the rain has stopped and you're not.
No, I just feel wet all the time.
I have to tell you, though,
damn,
I loved your rain boots. It's made me want to go out and get some of my own.
I love them. I just walk everywhere with them. I don't care because then you just hose them down.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
Yep.
And you know what? Until the fair, I hadn't had them out since the floods last year. I bought them for that so I could, you know, get out of my car and go in my home during the flood because we literally lived in the lake during that. But I hadn't really needed them until...
Until the fair.
Walworth County flood. I mean, fair.
I renamed it to, what was it? Rainy Nights and Carnival Lights.
I know.
Hashtagged it anyway.
I saw it. Yeah.
Gosh,
yeah, it was what it was. So, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. Coming up, though, we have a great show, but it's all chicks.
Hey, that's not bad.
It's fine with us. We prefer that. No, we're just kidding. Janelle Powers is going to join us. She's got another show or a few shows on the calendar. And, of course, the girls from Win at Law, Shannon Wynn and Alyssa Wilson. We're going to talk a little bit with them as well. Coming up next, right here on Lake 96.1. And welcome back to Life Matters. We have another I don't know what we're talking about today. Estate planning with Alyssa Wilson. Shannon Wynn joins us as well, both of them from Win at Law. So estate planning. It sounds sad.
It's not sad at all. No. It might be a little bit of a depressing topic sometimes when we're going through the different contingencies and things like that, but it's actually something that you should be open and willing to talk about, because in the long run, it's going to help you and your family.
So why would we make sure that we are planning ahead with our estates? And anything can be an estate. Don't think that you have to be like a millionaire to have an estate. You do not. Anything you own technically is your estate, right?
Yes.
And can be included in this planning and should be included in this planning to keep your family from having to go through all of the legalities that not having a plan entail. So tell us about just all of it, to all of your recommendations, why we need to start off doing this at a young age as well.
Yep, absolutely. So here's what I tell people when they come in, and if you don't have anything currently in place, and when I say anything, I'll go over what that actually means. Mm-hmm. I say that everybody needs, and when I say everybody, I mean anyone over the age of 18, needs three main tools for an estate plan. And those include a healthcare power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, and a will. Now, that's your basic estate plan. So that's not going to necessarily cover probate avoidance. That's not going to necessarily do succession planning if you own your own business, things like that. However, everyone at a bare minimum over the age of 18 should have those three tools in their estate plan. And to go over basically what they mean.
I was going to say, what are those basic, what do those do for you?
No problem. So a healthcare power of attorney and a financial power of attorney are for while you're alive. And the second that you pass away, those become null and void, and that's when your will kicks in. And a will is essentially just your list of wishes and who you want to handle those list of wishes in paying final bills, dispersing your assets, handling your estate if you have to go through probate. That's all what a will does. A healthcare power of attorney is for while you're alive, and it's for when you are unable to make your own healthcare decisions and you give someone else the authority to make those decisions on your behalf. a financial power of attorney acts very similarly. It just is in regards to basically anything that's not healthcare related.
Right.
So money, property, stocks, insurance claims, I mean, anything like that. Someone, if you're unable to make your own health care or your own financial decisions, would be able to do that on your behalf.
So anybody, if obviously anything can happen to anybody at any time. And so it's imperative that you have the two, the health care and the financial power of attorneys in place, no matter how old you are. Those can be changed throughout your life, though. Once you set them, for instance, my parents, my mom was my dad's, my dad was my mom's. That's probably pretty normal, I assume, husband and wife. My yes. mom got really sick. We didn't feel like she could any longer make those decisions on my dad's behalf, so we changed my dad. So my dad still has all of those powers of attorney over my mom, but because of my mom's health situation, we changed them to me for my dad. And so this isn't, nothing that you do is permanent. You know, if your will, nothing. These can and should be updated. So this, we're not just talking to people who don't have these documents in place, but people who have the documents in place from 10 years ago, 15 years ago. You go through divorces, mm-hmm. you have children, perhaps you get remarried, you have stepchildren you would like to include. All of these things can and should change as your life goes on, right?
Absolutely. And they're easy to change. They're not cost prohibitive to make changes. It's also a lot of people, if you have adult children now, that you may have set that up when your kids were minors. And maybe your kids are in their 30s now and you want them to be your backup. We also, when we're drafting powers of attorney and wills, we do contingencies. Mm-hmm. So obviously, like in a situation like your parents, you account for the fact that your mom may not be able to act as your dad's agent anymore, and you put a backup in the document. So you don't even have to come and change it. Mm-hmm. It's already put in your original document. But there are definitely things that you should look at if you haven't, you know, updated your estate plan in 10 years, 15 years, whatever it may be. Pull them out. Take a look. You might not like your brother anymore that you had identified the True. First time around. Or your kids may be in vastly different situations that they were in 10 years ago that, you know, Sally may have been your responsible kid when they were in their 20s, but now Jimmy's the responsible one in their 40s.
Sally's in jail.
Yeah,
Jimmy got out.
Yep. Got to make the switch.
That's right.
Exactly.
Well, and then grandkids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where when I have people come in and they don't have anything in place, and let's say they're in their 50s, have some adult kids, maybe have a grandchild or two, we account for life changes as they're getting older. We account for grandchildren being born. We account for the fact that you may have a kid that predeceases you or something like that. So you don't have to come back every 10 years. I mean, I realize it may not be the best business model, but I'd like you to have, when you walk out the door, a comprehensive estate plan that may not need to be updated. However, it doesn't mean you shouldn't pull it out and look at it and right. see if, you know, things have changed.
Right. I have a quick question. A friend of mine recently passed, and he passed from complications of diabetes and had a heart attack. And they did have everything in place. He was very, very sick for quite a while. But what happens if you don't have something in place and you have your last wishes? Your spouse knows your last wishes, but you never really got those wishes in writing and get it documented. What happens if the hospital wants to amputate your foot and your lungs are at 20%, you have no kidney, you know, your kidneys are not functioning? What happens in that kind of situation?
So that's a great question, and I'm sorry about your friend passing.
Thank you.
It depends is the lawyer answer on that one, because it depends about your friend's situation or your situation. So if he didn't, for example, have a healthcare power of attorney, normally hospitals, doctors look towards a spouse if a spouse is living there, or if there's a spouse in the situation. They may also, if there is no spouse, they may look to kids. The issue that you get is if, for example, you have two kids and you don't have a spouse and you don't have a healthcare power of attorney, is if your kids can't agree mm-hmm. on what
right
the correct path of treatment will be. If it's an emergency situation, the doctor will act. I mean, that's just the way that
it's
it
so
is.
It's so weird because the doctor, right. I mean, the doctor, they wanted to go ahead and amputate part of his leg, and they looked, you know, the family looked at each other and they said, no, he's suffered enough. We're not going to go anymore, you know. And the next day, they called hospice. So it's just, it was such a sad situation, but it's a happy situation because they had a plan in place and he didn't, you know, they followed his wishes. But it's just crazy to think that the hospital will go ahead and
right keep wouldn't doing have followed what, his wishes
right,
had
and keep doing
the plan
this.
Not been in place.
And he, you know, eventually he would have succumbed to diabetes anyway. But still, it worked out. In a sad, very sad situation. But it's just you need to get things documented and in place.
Well, and the other thing, absolutely, too, is after you get it documented, the importance of taking those documents to the proper places and
right.
doing the right things is really important, too. So having, you know, people know what your wishes are and giving them copies of your powers of attorney. For instance, your bank should have your financial power of attorney. Your doctor should have a copy of your healthcare power of attorney. So that's the other piece of the puzzle. It's fine if you go and you have these things drafted.
Right.
But if nobody knows, and if nobody, A, knows where they are, B, has copies of them, you got a problem there too.
Exactly.
And that's what I always tell clients is that the value of these is what the paper it's printed on, mm-hmm. if you don't do anything with them. Mm-hmm. So I have lots of people who come in who may not want to ruffle feathers in their family or whatever it may be, and they don't want to notify their healthcare power of attorney or the person that they've identified as their personal representative of their will.
Or they change somebody and that person might be upset.
Exactly. Right. But they don't want to tell them prior to their passing or prior to the need. And it's like, someone's got to be able to know where these documents are, where they can find them, and potentially what your rationale is if, for example, you cut someone out of your estate. These are, unfortunately, conversations that may be uncomfortable, but you should be having with the people you have identified.
One of the sad things, on my ex's side of the family, somebody passed away. So they were married. You know, she had grown kids, he had grown kids, but they'd been married for like 25 years, owned a home together, all that. So when he died, the stepkids came in and tried to get her to move out of the house. And she's like, this isn't your dad's house. This is our house. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I made the mortgage payments just as much as he did when we were, you know, like they tried, and he didn't, because he didn't have anything in place. And so ultimately she, you know, they left her alone and she's fine and she sold the house and did everything. But she paid for all of his medical expense. You know, the kids did nothing when he was alive for the guy. But when he died, came back and said, oh, well.
Well, not only that, think about just the cost of, you know, if she had to hire an attorney because they hired an attorney to fight over this. Mm-hmm. Just think about the cost of that in and of itself, mm-hmm. which, you know, is useless. I mean, sure, great, it goes to attorneys, lovely, but at the end of the day, it doesn't help either side.
The attorney's the only one making it.
Yeah, the only exactly.
And no offense, but
no,
I mean, you know,
not
that's
taken.
Not really,
I mean,
the attorneying you guys like to do.
Well, absolutely not. That's why we want to plan.
Exactly. Right. That's why we'd rather you spend the money planning so that your wishes are going to be followed, as opposed to getting money on the back end from fighting.
Right.
That's not our goal. And that's why I always tell people if they have a blended family, are not married but have a, you know, lifelong partner or whatever it may be, it's imperative that you plan, mm-hmm. because when you yes. pass away, that's when the problems are going to come out. And your stepchildren from different marriages may get along while you're alive and kicking. That might not be the case once you've gone and there's money on the table. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where if you want to avoid that fight, you need to do something now.
So my husband and I had our stuff done a few years ago. I have pretty huge major kidney problems, and so I had to have surgery and all that. So he gets all nervous, and so we did some basic stuff. And you know, we had to name, you know, executors if, you know, so like if my husband's not around when I die, my brother is my executor and his brother. So we sent copies to them and all of that, and we did all of those things that we were supposed to do. But clearly neither one of them have actually read anything, because my brother's not included at all. You know, it's just my grandkids. Actually, I eliminated everybody except for the cuties. And then, no, I'm just kidding.
Hey, it's your wishes. Do what you want.
I would give you whatever you wanted. Yep. If that is what you came in and told me.
It's your decision. That's right. Mm-hmm.
But I've always joked about my husband and I, and we don't, but I've always said, yeah, our prenup says that if we ever get divorced, I don't want half of your crap. That you have to take it all. That's not how this is going to work.
Get your truck and trailer.
Yes, right. Yeah. Get out. Yeah. And so in our wills, all of that stuff goes to his brothers.
Oh, that's funny.
And so, they don't know.
They don't know.
Oh, boy. So they better get a truck and trailer.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But we were laughing about it because I'm like, you know, they're going to be the first people I call because I'm going to need this decluttered.
Yes.
You know?
Like, yes.
And he's like, aren't you even going to mourn me? Are you going to? I'm going to miss you. I'm not going to miss your stuff.
Yep.
Right. Like, this is not something I'm going to argue about. This is, you know, and it's just, it's senseless when you see people ruining relationships, ruining families, and it's all over a piece of paper. Of course, the piece of paper that we created probably will ruin the family too. But it's, you know, forcing the stuff on them. But it's. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They're gonna be like,
I don't
not
care
speaking.
If you want it. You're getting
right.
it.
Exactly.
It's being
yes.
delivered. So
yes.
You have no choice.
Yes.
Sign right here. And so, but it's just such a shame when you see it. It just rips people apart mm-hmm. because they're. It's just the worst time of their life. They've lost that loved one, and now and people get so emotional and attached to things. That they're just physical things. They're not going to affect your memories. They're not going to affect your heart. But having that paperwork, it doesn't necessarily make it easier, but it certainly makes it more black and white.
It does. It definitely does. And it makes it easier for whoever you have selected
right.
as your executor or your personal representative. If you have identified items that may be a contentious item for your children, grandchildren, whatever it may be, if you identify who it's going to now, mm-hmm. they can't fight about it. Mom picked, I got the diamond and emerald ring. Mm-hmm. You got
nothing.
Because you didn't deserve it.
Exactly.
But
you weren't cute enough. You weren't on the list.
You were not cute enough. I did an aesthetic test and you didn't pass. No, but it's one of those things where it also relieves your personal representative of any issues that may arise in their attempts to mm-hmm. disperse of assets.
Because if it goes to court, a judge is going to look at it and say, "This they put it in writing. There's no fighting about this." I mean, mm-hmm. How difficult is it to overcome that? It's very difficult, right? You just
yes.
can't do that.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I mean, there's different ways. I have people who come in who my parents did this every time they went on vacation. They wrote a sheet of paper saying, I want X, Y, and Z to go to this person and money to go to this person, and then they signed and dated it. That's not going to pass muster if someone tries to contest it, but it does express your wishes. If you have another document that may say something similar or whatever it may be, but it's imperative that if you want to, the most common scenario is cut somebody out. So if you may not want to give your kids equal shares, if you may want to give the vast majority of your estate to one of your kids and the other two may not get as much, you've got to make sure you've got that written down and clear as possible mm-hmm. as to what your reasoning for that decision
right.
is. Yeah.
And not equally dividing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have a lot of people come into you before they go on vacation. And,
yes.
You know, and then.
Really? Well, especially holiday time, too. Absolutely. Because the other thing about these documents, especially the powers of attorney, is they have to be signed by, and it's not signed immediately. They're still effective, as Alyssa would tell you in a meeting, but they have to eventually be signed by the other people that you are nominating. And so you do have to show them at some point, hopefully. And so holiday time is a great time to be seeing your family
right.
and to, even if you're slipping it in an envelope. Right. You know, it doesn't.
It's in their stocking.
It doesn't matter. It's in their. It's Merry
Guess
Christmas.
What's in your stocking?
You need well, a if you're getting the diamond ring, and you know,
Merry Christmas, you get the kids.
You get
exactly.
The and the kids.
You get Ty's stuff. Here you go. Exactly. So
you know, he won't listen to this show because of stuff like that.
He's like smart man. Yeah. Smart man.
It's like others know more about me than me.
We get. I feel like our busy seasons are right before the holidays, right before spring break, and then also right before summer. And inevitably, I ask the people, you know, what's making you do this now? And a lot is vacations. We're going on a huge European cruise. We're going to something with our entire family, and we thought if something happens, we wanted something in place.
Right.
So it is a factor that a lot of people think of, and it's a great reminder.
Or surgeries. I mean, that's the other thing, too. As you had mentioned, you know, you went through, you know, some pretty scary stuff. And so medical will be the other reason, too. And, you know, that's obviously an unfortunate as opposed to a vacation. But that leads people, you know, down that path often.
Right. I'm just thinking with a vacation with that duck boat accident that took out so many of their family members.
Seven or nine member or whatever it was.
Yeah. It was huge chunk.
I mean, so you just never know.
You don't know.
And so I can see that. I can see people's mind frame like that. But I wasn't worried about it, but he was. And I was like, whatever.
It's still better that you got, you know, that you had it done.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it guaranteed me I'm not going to be burdened.
That's right.
The crap in the storage unit.
Sure.
Just saying.
We get a lot of people that, with elderly parents that come in, too, that realize I was putting my mom, signing her up for a nursing home, and they require a healthcare power of attorney and a financial power
of
attorney.
Of course.
And I realize I don't have that. So we get people coming in with that, because a lot of times, especially with the healthcare power of attorney, a lot of people will call us, and unfortunately, it's too late. Mom is in the throes of Alzheimer's, and she can't enter into a contract. Mm-hmm. So if you can think of it now and just get it done, even if you want to change it or whatever later, at least it's in place.
Mm-hmm. Right. What happens if somebody's, the scenario that you just said with mom and grandma or whatever,
and somebody's got
with Alzheimer's, is that when you go to court and...
That's a guardian. That would be more of a guardianship situation. A lot of times it's not. It's really one family member is willing to step up and take charge. Mm-hmm. The problem is if you've got siblings that fight or whatever it may be, it could be contentious.
Right.
And we'd want to avoid that. I'd much rather you come in and you pick who you want to be in charge of you.
Right.
Than a judge who has never met you when you were fully with it.
Well, because the kid that or the relative that steps up might have a grudge.
Mm-hmm. Well, could have a grudge, not like, have the same wishes as
like,
you.
No, yeah, just on the bottom of her now.
Yeah, may believe that you should have as many life prolonging procedures as possible because you never know what's going to happen.
Like
and
me,
you don't want like Shannon
on air right now. Yeah. I'm telling you, save me. Yeah,
save
no matter
you?
What,
Shannon wants to get plugged in for 150 years.
Yeah, I do.
Are we going to freeze you?
She would.
Okay. Yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
I don't.
Be so chilly.
I don't.
A lot of people don't want that.
I don't want that to be the last thing my grandkids remember. Like, I won't have that problem. Machines. So,
Shannon's dogs will want her around as long as possible.
Yeah, I want to see where modern medicine takes me. It could be a great ride.
She is one of the few people who have ever said that.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think we should freeze you.
I'm up for that. Not right now. I'd like to live a little while longer.
Well, let's finish the show first.
Okay, deal. Yeah. Excellent idea.
No, we're joking about this, but it's a serious, you know, it's not funny when you're standing in a hospital room fighting. And, you know, that's also, like my husband has said, you know, you watch shows and you see people in, you know, screaming, the person's dying, or they're in a car accident or whatever. My husband's like, can you please, when I pass away, not freak and scream? And, like, don't make that the last thing I hear, you know, if that's what's going to happen to me. Like, right. I want peace. I want peace, right? And so apparently I yell at him a lot. So he's like, just in those final moments, could you try and hold it? So, you know, and so I get that. And you don't certainly want them, because I truly believe that people in comas or whatever, they know what's going on. They can hear you. They can hear every word. Don't talk in front of them. Be very careful. You know, that's all mind, you know, over matter sometimes, and just don't be negative. And I the last thing you want is for two people standing there bickering, arguing.
Yep.
When they're, you know, maybe in their final moments. I mean, it's right. just, it's already a sad situation, and not having that. And it's very simple. It doesn't take very long. Nope. Doesn't it takes what? A couple hours maybe of your time.
Yeah, it's
you just it just requires you to think.
Yep.
That's all.
I normally have people fill out a packet, so especially if you're married or mm-hmm. if you've never thought about it before, you think about some of the questions I'm going to ask you during the meeting. Meeting maybe an hour. Then I draft everything up. You look at it. We set up a time for signing.
Right.
It's not a cumbersome process by any stretch of the imagination. And unfortunately, I can't prevent your spouse screaming at you or having a flip out at your deathbed.
You don't have any people.
No, I can't. But I can.
Why didn't you clean up the kitchen?
Yeah. But I
the grout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But we can have your wishes expressed, right. and we can do, for example, a living will that clearly outlines what sort of life-sustaining measures right. you do or you do not want, what's if you want feeding tubes, etc., that it basically removes the decision from your spouse or whoever you have identified as your healthcare power of attorney, so that any guilt that may right. come with pulling mm-hmm. the plug is removed.
And it's, and
there's no fight.
Say. That burden yep. is lifted.
Yeah.
Oh, so, right.
And
it's huge.
And during that most difficult time of your life, that you're making those decisions on behalf of your loved one.
And you have peace of mind.
Right.
Knowing that you're doing what they wanted.
You're doing the right thing.
Exactly.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is as long as you're doing this on the front side and planning, at least in our office, things are done at a flat fee. So you can call us. We'll tell you exactly what it will cost. It's very affordable. Mm-hmm. It's much more affordable than fighting in front of a judge, than right. you know, dealing with this on the flip side of litigation and having people fight. So,
oh, the flat fee is definitely going to be less expensive than the hourly.
Yes.
And the retainer.
Yes.
And all the expenses that go along with that.
Correct.
And for what? Probably nothing. Something that could have been handled very mm-hmm. easily.
Yes.
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 So that's, I mean, it's just, it's something that people don't want to talk about, and it doesn't have to be sad. It's, you know.
Nor expensive. Like
expensive,
I said, no.
And it's just, it's a matter of life business,
mm-hmm.
and it just needs to be done. How do we, so people need to get this done before the holidays. It doesn't really matter because you guys can do it any time of the year, but sure. How do we reach out and get in touch with you if we have questions about estate planning?
Give us a call at 262-725-0175, or you can visit our website, which is wynnatlaw.com.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, we need to get Shannon in some ice.
Oh, right.
Right.
Or on ice.
Or on
yeah.
ice.
Yes.
Yes. No, I told my husband everything until it makes us broke. If you're going broke, then I'm okay. That's the one time. It's like, if we're going into bankruptcy, okay, take me off. But until that point, you have an obligation to keep me alive.
Okay, we'll do that. More to come next, right here on Life Matters.
Welcome back to Life Matters. One of my favorite people, Melody's favorite person too.
Exactly.
Janelle Powers joins us this morning. She's here with the Geneva Theater Actors Guild. You guys have some more shows planned.
We do.
Ooh.
This is our first year anniversary.
Oh yeah.
Now in September. And for our first year anniversary, we have a new addition. In addition to our evening, one show once a month mm-hmm. for a local charity, we have added a morning show.
A morning show.
Very cool.
Melody knows all about morning
I
shows.
I sure do. This is great. This is the morning show. That is fantastic for people that are unable to come in the evening.
I think that's great.
It is.
So many of our friends have said, you know, I love live theater, but I don't want to come out at 7:30 at night, and I don't like driving in the wintertime when the roads are snowy and icy, and wow, wouldn't it be nice if you had a more... Well... Now we have a morning show.
Watch what you wish for.
That's
yes,
correct.
You've answered your people there.
We listened and we changed.
So the first one coming up is called Sylvia. And there is a special performer that I may or may not have heard of.
Yes, you may.
Really?
Being a friend of hers since
she was in like
she was young
high school.
Yeah,
yes,
middle school maybe.
Yes, my daughter, who is a professional actress in New York City, is coming for one of our monthly shows, and she will be playing the lead character in Sylvia. A.R. Gurney's comedy, Sylvia, which is about a man and his dog and his wife.
I love how you say that, because that's how it's written.
Yes.
Wife is the afterthought. Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. J.C. will be playing Sylvia the dog.
Oh, my gosh.
The role was originated on Broadway by Sarah Jessica Parker.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very funny show. As you might have guessed from my description, the fellow loves the dog, but the wife, maybe not so much.
Not so much.
So much.
Anyway, it's
so
a very
funny
show.
So the dog is mischievous?
Yeah, the dog is a dog, and she just doesn't want a dog in the house.
Which so there's some conflict with that right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
That wouldn't work in Melody's house either. They have three dogs.
We do, yes. Yeah.
What are your dogs' names, Melody?
Miss Pippi Jackpot Judge, Mr. Pretzel Pot Pie Judge, and Oscar Fair Dog. So I'm thinking, like, this could be really a man and his dog, and this is my household a little bit. And
Well, it's not, though, because Oscar Fair Dog is technically Larry's dog.
Right, exactly. So that would be, like, and the wife.
And Oscar Fair Dog could eat the other two for an appetizer.
Yeah, they're, like, little
she
appetizer
dogs.
She
dresses them up and puts them in, and they, like, wear sunglasses and stuff, the little two little pippy.
They love it.
Dogs,
they love it.
Called. Pretzel, pot pie, something or other.
Well, you know, because you know me so well, mm-hmm. that I have dogs.
Yes.
And I love dogs. I used to have three. One of mine passed away.
Aww,
but
sorry.
Yes. Anyway, it's funny because the fellow who is playing the husband doesn't like dogs at all. And Gordon said, you know, this is really...
stretch.
He doesn't want any dogs in his house or any animals. And I'm like, well, you know, I've got dogs and I used to have cats too and rabbits and all kinds of...
Well, he's acting.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
He's got to act like he likes dogs.
Gordon. So it is kind of fun. I think the show's going to be hysterical.
Good.
Well, of course. And then JC plays the dog.
JC plays the dog, Sylvia.
So.
And she's so funny.
She's
really very funny
anyway.
in the role. And we did one reading when she was on her way out to L.A. She stopped by for a couple days, 2 days. And then on her way back to New York, she's stopping for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll do the show with us and fly back because she's got another show coming up in New York.
How fun for you to have your daughter here and in this play. But was this her first choice to play the dog?
No, it's a play that I love. And I knew she would be wonderful in the role. Originally, we were going to do it and I'd do the dog. And I went, you know, boy, JC would be so fabulous in this part. I wonder. And then when she said she had to be out to L.A. for a few weeks and on her way back, she'd stop and at home and see me, I went, could you stop around? Because it would be really nice if you could join us for that show.
Oh, and only as moms
do,
right?
I would like to see you on stage in this role.
Yes.
Oh,
that's awesome.
And she said yes. And I was so delighted.
Oh,
yes.
I'm sure.
Because it's so wonderful to work with her.
Of course.
I've only done two other shows with her. We did Follies together. She played the ghost version of my character.
Mm-hmm.
Follies is a show, I don't know if you know Sondheim's
I remember
musical,
that, yeah.
Follies. Mm-hmm. It's where there's the person of today and then the ghost of their Follies days.
Okay.
And JC played the ghost of my Follies days. And then another show we did together was Little Women, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
I played Marmee. She played Jo. And my other daughter, who's not in theater any longer.
Mm-hmm. She's in radio, actually.
She is actually
we
in
did.
Radio.
She was an intern here, and we did not scare her away from radio, like a lot of them.
Not.
Perfect. So.
Yes.
She is the glutton for radio punishment, and she stuck around.
Yes, she has. And she, you know, loves you and thinks
Aww.
You're amazing.
Aw.
No.
Yes. Oh, Nancy. She's the one.
you've been amazing. Just
yes, she is awesome. Completely.
Yes, I agree. And Joy does too. Yeah. At any rate, Joy, yes, she grew very grateful to the internship here. It kind of kicked off. A great
she
career.
Was, she was. But she, because she would, but she was in that Little Women with
she
you?
Was.
Yeah.
She did. She played Beth.
Because when, was that when you guys were driving back and forth to Chicago? Wasn't that
no,
in Chicago?
No, JC and Joy both did a lot of theater in Chicago uh-huh. area. But actually, that was when I had my professional theater company prior
here. Right, okay.
To, yeah, when
Pelagia
I did all those shows,
Productions,
Pelagia Productions, yeah. Before they closed the theater on me.
Oh, no.
I know. My first production was in 08, and we did Rocky Horror. I brought all the kids in from New York, and it was a fabulous show, and we did Christmas show, and we did a spring show, and we did a lot of shows. Anyway, a dozen professional shows and three kids shows mm-hmm. during the years that I...
Wonderful.
And then I went in. We did it Rocky again in 09, and I was ready to do Rocky in 10. I got my cast set up. They were coming in from New York again. This time we were going to fly them in. The last two times they came in by, like, you know, cars, carpool, all those cast members. But anyway, so all planned, all ready. I go in right before Labor Day, and they say, well, we're closing the day after Labor Day. I went, are you kidding?
You didn't even know.
No.
Oh, my
no.
goodness.
No, and then, of course, you know, they were closed until June of 17. Mm-hmm. You know, they closed almost 7 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes. So it's a joy for me, bottom line, to get to perform with JC again.
I bet.
I'm excited.
What part are you playing?
I'm playing the mean wife.
Oh, awesome.
She's not actually
and
very
And your
mean.
Daughter's the dog.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Janelle definitely has to act for that because she is not mean at all.
Right.
So
I don't know.
I cannot see that at all. So.
But she, you know, she's a person who just wants her life to be more ordered. And the dog brings chaos into her world. She's a college teacher, and she wants her life to be, you know,
right,
stable. And the husband and she gets this great residency at a university in London. And because the dog can't come because it'd have to be in quarantine for 6 months, and you know, this is a disturbance in her world.
Right.
And
so, awesome,
and it plays out, right?
And it plays out, but it's all funny and fun, and I think anyone coming will enjoy it.
So this is going to happen at 10 o'clock in the morning, as well as 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, September 19th.
Yes.
What? Now, you ask for a donation of $10 at the door.
We do.
What's the charity this time?
It is Lakeland Animal Shelter.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect. We may or may not be affiliated mm-hmm. with Lakeland Animal Shelter just a little bit on Wet Nose Wednesday. Every Wednesday morning.
Well, and you know, the truth is, our shows are absolutely free.
Right.
The donation is completely optional.
Yeah.
If you don't feel compelled to make a donation, no problem. Really, no problem.
Right.
We don't nag or bug or we don't even mm-hmm. ask. We just have a little bucket there at the door. And if you want to contribute, to do. If you don't, you don't. And that's okay.
Right.
But proceeds do all go to a local charity. Every show is a local charity, and this month,
like you said, it's so fitting.
It was, yes. Aww. And we do try to match our charities to the show we're doing.
Of course.
You know.
So then in October, you're going to have 39 Steps.
Alfred Hitchcock's
The
39 Steps, which is an old movie from the 30s that people may remember. But this is a comedic take on that story. So it's very silly and funny. It's a lot of slapstick fun. And
now, because I'm trying to think of what charity you would match 39 Steps up to.
I don't remember.
I
have my list here, and I can't remember which one we matched it to.
What is 39 Steps about? Because I'm not familiar with that, the movie.
It's a mystery. I'm trying to remember exactly how that particular one goes.
But you have comedy written with that.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a comedy. They take the same story, but I saw it on Broadway, and you'd think that would trigger in my mind exactly what it was. But what I remember most about that Broadway production is how these four people played 30 different roles.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's very silly.
Oh, wow.
So four people, a woman and three men, just are continually changing roles. And it's silly. Yes.
That would be hysterical.
And sometimes there are puppets and
well, I mean, trying to get, you know, trying, I mean, it's like trying to get changed for the next
because we do primarily staged readings,
right?
The costume thing is minimal because we're moving about. But it actually on Broadway it was too. There was like this screen where they jump behind and throw things
right.
in the air.
Oh, how fun!
Yeah, it was so silly.
That's what I pictured.
It was funny. Oh,
that's funny.
It's great. Funny.
That is so funny.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Our November show is one of the only two dramas that we have scheduled for this season.
Okay.
Now our season goes from September through June,
right?
And our June show is the only one that's actually for children. And this year we're going to do Peter and the Starcatcher, which is a really sweet piece.
Yeah.
And fun. Funny and fun. And it's the June one is also usually has some music integrated into it in some way. And this Peter and the Starcatcher does have music in a slight way integrated in. But it's the only one that's really for children and has children in it.
Right.
But our November show is one of the two dramas. And it is Eugene O'Neill's A Moon for the Misbegotten, which is a lesser-known piece if you are familiar with A Long Day's Journey into Night, which is sort of an autobiographical piece of Eugene O'Neill's. This is like a sequel to that. The main character, James, is one of the sons in Long Day's Journey, and it shows what happens in his later life.
Okay.
He's now a man in his 40s or 50s or something, and where he is now at this point.
And he's a farmer.
Actually, he's living near a farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the man who's the farmer is struggling with that, and his daughter is in a relationship with James, and it's a very interesting drama, and it's beautifully written. Eugene O'Neill was an amazing writer. So that's a drama. But our last show of this 2018, I think, is a real family favorite. It's A Wonderful Life.
Oh, one of my favorites.
It was my husband's favorite.
Really?
Oh. He loved it.
Yes.
Yes. We went to see, actually, a lovely full screen in New York. JC was doing a show the Christmas before John passed away, and we went there because she couldn't come home. And we went to see It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen in a big, beautiful New York theater. And as a special guest, Donna Reed's daughter.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Oh,
and
my.
She was wonderful and amazing and talked to us quite a long time after, just John and I, after the film. But she had done a lecture and thing, question and answer before the film.
Mm-hmm.
But she was terrific and interesting, and her recollections of her mother doing the movie and all of that.
How cool.
Yeah.
That
was really fun.
Very cool.
Yes.
For those who don't remember, this show it didn't start, but a long time ago, John and I hosted this show. I co-hosted. I had your job.
Uh-huh.
And,
I see.
I co-hosted with him, and he never sat down. Like, he stood the entire
did
show.
Did he really?
Oh,
isn't
yes.
that the truth?
Yeah.
I know my husband. Yes.
Yeah, he couldn't sit still ever. And we would have, and I would put together the subjects of what we were talking about, and we would never talk about those things. Never. Or I'd
would
say
it off course
and
just
he'd
a little
say,
bit,
oh,
or?
Just a little. And I would say it, and he would say, yeah, but da 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 da, and go way over there with it. And it was hysterical, and it was hysterical, yet sometimes exhausting, because you can't keep up with him. You just couldn't keep up with him. And you'd start to say something, and then he'd be over here on it. But I do know that you're right. I remember It's a Wonderful Life, and just, you know, he was a classic. He loved the classics, and I know it makes you happy to do that one, too.
Oh, I am. I'm looking really forward to it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting piece, that particular one, because we're doing what's called It's a Wonderful Life, a live radio drama. So it's being done as though it's a live radio show.
Right.
So it uses fewer characters.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't cast the entire thing yet, but I'm going to be playing one of the radio women who plays like four different roles.
Uh-huh.
And I chose to do that rather than be Mary, because there's one radio actress who just plays the one character, just Mary. But I thought it'd be really fun to do the four different characters and the four different voices and the four different people. And I thought that
sound like a lot of fun.
And so we'll have a live Foley artist that will do the Foley kind of sound that was present in the 1940s when this movie was done. And
we also do that. Fun. You know, we play on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and for a few days leading up to Christmas, we play It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Carol, and what's the other one?
Oh, there's...
What's the other classic?
Escapes me.
I know you said Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life.
And you're doing Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, Miracle on 34th Street. We play those original radio versions where they do the sound effects right there, and the commercials are live, and everything is...
Don't you love those?
Yes, yes.
But
in the 40s or the 30s and the 40s or whenever they were original. Yeah, they're the originals. And so I know listening to it, you start thinking about all of the work that goes into that and the timing and all of that. So watching that, watching you guys do all that on stage will be awesome. Yeah.
But I don't know if you know this or if you remember this. You'll know this, but you won't maybe remember that we did a show here on this radio station.
I did know that.
Music Critters Christmas.
Yes.
Which became...
What was it?
It's called The Music Critters Christmas.
Okay.
And JC played one of the lead children. I was one of the characters myself. And that was part of an original production for WLKG.
Nice.
Years and years ago.
Very nice. Some years ago, yes. We then repeated it at WGN in Chicago. But... you were the first people to do it here.
Right. Original right here.
Yes.
It was before I was here. I've been here for almost 17 years. And
was
so
it before?
It was about...
It was right before.
Yeah, it was probably
already...
within... Nope.
Maybe not.
I don't think so. I mean, we'd have to look and maybe it happened and I just wasn't...
But yes.
I didn't start out.
So right here, we had
very
an original
exciting.
A Christmas production.
It's
yes,
cool.
it was fun.
Yeah.
I did one, actually. I did the Cinnamon Bear, a redo of the Cinnamon Bear. The Cinnamon Bear was originally done in the 30s, I think. I don't remember now. But I did a redo of that radio for a company in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
This would have been back in the 80s. Gosh,
so
I'm old.
When you were a teenager, Janelle. When you were a teenager, Janelle.
Actually, I played the little girl, but in my younger days, I did a bit of radio work in addition to theater, and I would often do children's voices. You listen to me now, and you're thinking, that woman could never do a children's voice. But sometimes I can do a children's voice.
You know, and listen to the, you know, you see the actors and actresses that do some of these animated features and stuff like that, and you would have never guessed that they are who they are. And
true.
You know, because like, isn't Bart Simpson a woman?
Bart Simpson's a woman.
Right. Yeah. So like I can imagine you could do all kinds of voices and stuff that we would never suspect come out, because that's just what people in that industry do. They can transform themselves into somebody else.
But that was always fun. But yes, I played one of the children in the Cinnamon Bear series.
The Cinnamon Bear
that
series.
Our sponsor was, well, I don't even know if Illinois Bell exists.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
There you go.
Do they have landlines anymore?
They do.
No. I think I know two people.
I know, yeah.
But yes, Illinois Bell was our sponsor for that show.
Oh, my gosh.
It was on the radio.
That's awesome.
Long time ago.
So mark your calendars for Wednesday, September 19th. You can come either at 10 a.m. or 7:30 p.m. for Sylvia by the Geneva Theater Actors Guild with, of course, special guest J.C. Powers.
Yeah. Oh, there is one thing I will mention about our evening shows.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention this. At 7 o'clock, if you come at 7, every time in the evening, we're going to have a reception.
Oh.
Yes.
Cute.
So there will be food and cocktails and things like that. But also live entertainment. Our entertainment for Sylvia is going to be a pianist. There is a bit of Cole Porter in the body of Sylvia, the work. And so we'll have a pianist playing just Cole Porter.
Cool.
Very cool.
The lobby.
That's nice. That's a nice addition.
It is a nice addition. Nice touch.
So Wednesday, September 19th, Sylvia, a man and his dog and his wife.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Janelle, thank you so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next month again before the next show, and you can remind us about that, because one of them is going to be, the morning show is going to be on October 24th, but then the evening show is going to be on the 24th, but then the morning show is going to be on actually Halloween. So Alfred Hitchcock on Halloween. You can't beat that.
It's perfect, isn't it?
It is perfect. Mm-hmm. It is perfect. So thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for letting me come.
Oh, gosh. Anytime. And you might want to stick around, because coming up, Don't Even Get Me Started. And it's a doozy this week. Yeah. Right here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1. And now for another edition of
Don't Even Get Me Started.
I have a whole list, like much like you.
All right. So go for it. I think yours is longer.
I'm sure it is. First of all, we talked a little bit about last week about, you know, that I traveled with my grandkids.
Yes.
Yep. And I just want to tell all the people out there that who gave me funny looks when I took my 7-year-old grandson into the women's bathroom with me. Too bad. I will never send the children in a bathroom
by themselves. At seven years old?
Right. And he gets mad and he's like, oh, I'm a big boy. And I'm like, yeah, there are bigger boys, unfortunately.
He is, but still, yeah. Right.
And, you know, women's bathroom all have stalls. It's not like he's, you know, whipping it out and peeing in the sink or anything. I mean, he goes in the bathroom, but Julie and I take him in there with us. He's 7 years old. He's not old enough to go in there by himself. I don't know what's happening in there. And unless the guys want me to go in the men's bathroom, he's going in the bathroom.
With you.
But there are people who don't have children who have given me looks about that. And if there's not a family bathroom for us to go to,
I take him in.
I don't care.
Right.
So you can keep on giving me looks. I just don't care.
That's horrible.
FYI.
Who gives you looks for that?
I don't know.
A 7-year-old boy. And like you said, you're going in the stall.
Right. He's not 18.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's not an adult. I'm not taking my son-in-law in the bathroom with me.
And we're going to let our grandsons go alone at 18, you know?
Maybe.
So maybe.
Nana is a little overprotective. So.
No, yeah. I agree with that.
So yeah, don't even get me started about the looks that I got in the airports.
That's
and
terrible.
Restaurants and retail places, and I just don't care. Look at me all you want. I stand right outside his door. I make him wash his hands, walk right back out. He's not a lot, you know, face forward dude, but
right,
you know, we're respectful, but he ain't going in there by himself. And you give me all the looks you want.
I agree just, completely.
You know,
I do the same thing when we are, and I stand, you know, I mean, I'm waiting right there for him, and and so
yeah,
look away and
sorry,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, don't even get me started.
Well, you know, unless you go to Target and then it's just a free for all and anybody can use any bathroom. But that's a whole nother don't even get me started that we're not going to talk about today.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Hey, I got a parking ticket.
You did?
Well,
when?
That's really unusual for me to get a parking ticket because they do not like it when I call.
Where and when and what's going on?
And I get it, but I don't get it. Both my daughter and I got parking tickets. We parked kind of next to each other at the post office in Lake Geneva during Venetian Fest. It was Sunday night at like 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And when she left, she, of course, took her parking ticket and put it on my car and said, can you handle this?
Of course.
Drove away.
Because that's what we do to our moms and that's what our daughters do to us.
Right. Yeah, that was great. So I called and I'm like, you know, we've never gotten a parking ticket on a Sunday evening when absolutely no one has been or is at the post office. Well, you know, and my argument
Sunday night.
I know. And my argument in part was, isn't it a public, like, don't we kind of own it? The fact of the matter is that taxpayer dollars do not support the post office, and technically it is private property. And it's posted that you're not allowed to park there. So from now on, apparently, according to the city attorney, the post office does want it enforced that in spite of the fact that they're right there in downtown Lake Geneva, and when they're not there, nobody's using those parking spaces up top there. They, in fact, do not want to welcome visitors and people who are spending money in downtown Lake Geneva and allow them to park there during off hours of the post office anymore. And so parking tickets will be given out if you park at the post office and you are not there for actual post office business after hours. Like to check your PO box or something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I think that it's a, I think that when we give visitors who are spending money in our community parking tickets for parking somewhere where there is nobody.
Mm-hmm. Right. Those.
I mean, the people that are checking their PO boxes know that. You know,
I wouldn't even
sometimes
go down
there's,
there.
Sometimes there's cars there. They don't like nobody who's a resident who has a PO box there, which is the only reason why you would go to the post office after hours when mm-hmm. they're not open, really. I don't know. I just don't think that they're the ones complaining. I don't know what the problem is, but I just don't think it's a nice, I don't think it's a very nice welcoming.
You're right.
Way to welcome people who are spending money in your town.
It's not a way.
But what do I know? But it's not, you know, the people who support the post office are the ones that buy tickets or buy ticket stamps and stuff like that. It's not a government entity, technically. And so it is private property. And if they want to enforce that, they can.
That's news to me. Yeah. I never knew that. But I want to know who's going to the post office to their PO box on a Sunday night, especially during Venetian Fest. You're going to stay, you know, unless you're going right. there, I don't think you're going to be going to the PO box.
Right.
You're
I mean, away. I check my PO box at weird hours, but it not, but I don't.
Right. But
I don't
during
have a festival, right?
Very busy weekend. You're, I don't know. Yeah, I could be in the wrong on that as well. But, oh, that's
well, and
too bad.
I find it hard to believe that an entire lot full of people are checking their PO boxes mm-hmm. all at once. And mm-hmm. so we're blocking the, so I don't know.
Parking ticket. That's crazy. That is
I didn't
insane.
Say I paid it.
Okay.
I just said I got it.
Oh, you got one.
They were all dismissed because they wrote it off as a misunderstanding at this point. But in the future, that's going to be enforced.
That's so good to know.
It was $25.
Oh my gosh. And you both got one. You and your daughter both got one.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So, and there were other people there too. So, I'm
oh, everybody,
so
got
everybody got one.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was something on Facebook where a lady was, a lady videoed. I can't believe everybody got a parking ticket.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know.
Really?
I'm sure she set off a domino effect mm-hmm. of events that led to none of them actually being enforced and all of them being turned into warnings. But,
right. Because if you don't know,
like it's not the police department's fault.
No, it's not. No,
I mean,
I'm
they're
not
just
saying
doing
that.
Their
they're,
job.
Right. Exactly.
I'm just not sure it's a very welcoming policy, but mm-hmm. whatever.
It's not like a welcome gift basket.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different.
It was a welcome, all right.
Yeah, it was a welcome.
What do you
oh,
have?
Sorry
I've got
that.
A couple more, but.
Okay. I have mine is okay. So there was a guy in Florida. Imagine that. His home caught on fire after he attempted to bake cookies using a George Foreman countertop grill. So when the firefighters showed up at his house to put this fire out, he opened the door naked. And apparently he had been smoking pot and drinking vodka all day. And he apparently was hungry for cookies. So he started making them on a George Foreman grill. And you know what he did when he opened up the door and he's naked. He said, I'm sorry, and shut the door in their face. And he promptly went back into his house while everything was, you know, filling up with smoke. And anyway, he was arrested.
Just for what?
He was arrested for, let's see here.
I mean, I'm assuming he was arrested for possession of marijuana or something.
What.
It must be illegal.
You know who was arrested, though? A man in San Antonio. This is very quick. Very quick. He was taken into custody after he threw an axe at a moving train. Well, the axe came back and hit him in the head.
Karma with a capital K.
Oh, yeah. Somebody found him laying on the side of the ground next to the tracks.
And you get arrested for that.
What happened
well,
to my
when
axe?
You're dumb enough to hit your axe, your own
oh,
self with
my
your
gosh,
axe.
Yeah. So that's what I have. Silly.
I have.
Today.
A school resource office has a resource officer has come under fire after using a taser to wake up a sleeping high school
what?
Student.
What? They were sleeping?
Listen,
well, school just started.
I've had teenagers. Sometimes it takes a taser.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
I kind of wish I used to have. I had one with when my boys were at
for
home.
A lot of
like,
reasons.
Get out of bed. It's time for school.
Right. Take out the trash.
Yes.
Similar to a shock
I
collar.
Promise
I'd
never done that. I don't own one.
I can't.
If I did, it'd be pink, but I don't own one.
She didn't physically touch the student, but the sparking noise and reaction from the class were enough to wake the student
pretty scared.
Up.
Yeah.
She said she did take her taser, remove the cartridge from it, and arced the taser.
Oh.
And so Yeah. That apparently is frowned upon. It could cost her job. And I guess earlier this year, she reportedly neglected to take out the cartridge from a taser before she tasered another cop or something. So
what?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So
she's
she
a little
just
footloose and fancy free with the old electrodes.
She just bypassed the whole ruler thing.
I mean, what are these resource officers supposed to do? So yeah, and then one more. This lady, she fatally poisoned her husband by using over-the-counter eye drops.
I saw that. Did you see that? Did you see that? With eye drops?
Yeah.
That's awful.
Initially, police believe he died on July 21st from a fall down the stairs after his body was found in the foyer of the couple's waterfront home. This is in South Carolina. She said he'd been suffering from vertigo for several days before he fell. But then they showed, obviously they did an autopsy, mm-hmm. toxicology report. Much to the surprise of neighbors, the wife was arrested 10 days after her husband's death. Let's see. I'm not sure why. Oh, they don't have a clear-cut reason why she committed the crime that she did or what her motive was.
Eye drops.
But she was putting the eye drops in his food. And apparently, here's the moral of the story. Apparently, in 2016, mm-hmm. maybe this lends a little bit of motive to the case or additional information. Apparently, in 2016, the authorities are going back to review an incident in the couple's home where she claimed she shot her husband with a crossbow accidentally.
Oh, so it really probably was not on accident.
Yeah.
She just didn't get the job done, and so she decided to finish it with eye drops.
Even the husband said his wife had problems sleeping and sleepwalked, and he said he didn't believe that she was trying to kill him.
Oh,
I bet he believes it now.
Oh, well, he did believe it. That's awful. It's weird. Who knew?
So first she did. Accidentally shoots him with a crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
Accidentally. And my air quotes are going crazy. And then she kills him with eye drops. Who thinks of that?
I know. That's what I'm wondering. Did she Google it? Like, what is...
Like, how do
I
you...
Know. I don't know.
Weird.
It is very weird.
Anyway, that's our edition of Don't Even Get Me Started today. We do have a footnote. We're going to talk
a
little bit about this. So we spent all of our waking moments, mostly,
mm-hmm.
At the Walworth County Fair last week.
As we do every year.
As we do every year. In the rain, in the sunshine, in the mud, and throughout all of the, some of the chaos mm-hmm. that ensued because of all these different things. And I have said this before, that it occurs to me that people don't exactly live grateful lives anymore. And one of the things that, in spite of, we'll call it the incident,
mm-hmm.
that, by the way, happened off of property.
Correct.
Outside the hours of the normal fair
mm-hmm.
and by an employee that was not an employee or volunteer of the fair or the fair's responsibility.
Correct.
But I think that we should remember how much the community needs those fairgrounds and all of the children and adults and elderly farmers, young farmers, how much everybody participates and needs
mm-hmm.
those programs and opportunities. And how much this community as a whole, the entire county, needs that property. And people also need to understand how prayerful and heartbroken everybody who has anything to do with that piece of property is about all of this that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to, again, watch what we say. You know, there's been some horrible comments that are completely incorrect. And I know that you have been living this, you know, for the past 2 weeks, really, as this has been going on.
Right.
And it's I think that we should just be very careful in judging. And again, be grateful that we have what we have and understand that somewhere in every town, something happens. And what we need to do is focus on sending all of our positive energy and prayers to this young lady. And as we move forward, figure out, you know, yes, additional ways to help keep everybody safe. But I got to tell you that I spend a lot of time doing what I do for the fair. And it causes me to have to spend a lot of time with security.
Right.
And on the property, it is second to none. The safety and security that is provided by the fairgrounds and the organizations around the fairgrounds is second to none.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to be grateful that we do have the law enforcement and first responders that we have. You know, and again, the watchful eye of those who are keeping us safe, and things happen, and we are sick about it.
We are.
Everybody is, and but we have to go forward with a positive, again, grateful and concerned effort to keep this from happening to anyone else, not just at fair time. But
any time
that
right.
could have happened, absolutely any time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to look around at our community and resources and figure out how to keep these things from happening.
Right.
Period. All
right.
the time.
Absolutely right. And I would like to commend the police force that
yeah.
really brought a swift arrest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they've done a terrific job.
Mm-hmm.
So and definitely we are praying for the victim and the young lady for sure, and our everybody here and in all of Walworth County and,
yeah.
and I know beyond too. So we are definitely thinking of you, and our
we
thoughts
also,
and positive prayers are with you.
Yeah, I mean it's again this it. It just is unfortunate isn't even the word for it. We're,
mm-hmm.
We are, everybody is devastated about
yes.
it. Period.
Yep.
End of story. There are no words. And, you know, but it also, again, brings people together to have the conversations that we need to have about a lot of different things surrounding that. You know, surrounding that safety, personal
right.
safety, you know, I don't believe that those young ladies should be going out, if anything, alone
right.
in any place. And young men. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this could have been a guy. This person could have snapped and just, you know, this could have been a guy. So I think that, you know, the buddy system and all those things.
There's strength in numbers.
Yes. And we need to, you know, not let these things happen to any of us,
mm-hmm.
and watch out for each other. And we go back to the see something, say something, you know,
absolutely.
If anything feels wrong, call it in, doesn't matter. And, you know, but again, it's everybody is devastated, and justifiably so about this. And don't think that, conversations are not ongoing and will not be, and will be, you know, ongoing about how to do everything we possibly can to prevent this in the future. However, again, please keep very much in mind that your community entity
mm-hmm.
has already been doing everything they can to keep us all safe while on that property, around that property. And again, they're second to none. And our sheriff's department and the Elkhorn Police Department and the security teams, all those guys that come in and do those things, you have no idea how safe we really are. And
right.
this was just completely out of the blue. And all we can think about is that young lady. That's
right.
all we can think about.
Absolutely. Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said.
Anyway, not to end the program on a bad note, but We just have to remember grateful hearts, grateful hearts. So that's your edition of Life Matters for today. Coming up, more music right here on Lake 96.1. We'll see you next week.